And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about we send our show way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, and even parts of Georgia and Tennessee and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, you hear the ads during the break. Listen, I happen to know, like, we're signing up more advertisers even today. But if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, if you listen to us and you're going, man, those guys got it going on. That's the way I believe. They say things I think. Well, we'd love to have you on the team. So if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, the way you do it is you go to rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org. And you go to the advertising tab and you click on it and you send us a message and we get right back to you. That's the way it worked today, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, we're a standalone business. The stuff you hear coming out of your speakers right now, it's not owned by any of the stations. It's owned by Right Side, and we have to sustain our business operations like anybody else, and the way we do that is advertising revenue. So, yeah, we would love to have you on the team. Go to rightsideradio.org, and then just send us a message through the advertising tab. All right, so 2021, right around this time, June of 2021, the Taliban was in a major offensive. I think it was June of 21 when they began seizing certain facilities in and around the country in Afghanistan. Not the least of which was one of the major ports in the northern provinces called Shirkan Bandar, and that's a place that I was personally familiar with. But Shirkan Bandar was the actual trade route into Tajikistan with a new bridge that had been built in like 2007. Across the Amudarya River. And so the Taliban to seize that meant what they were doing was they were seizing places of commerce. It was also a place where they could prevent people from escaping. They were beginning the push to take back the country. And then President Biden decided, we're done. 20 years, we're just going to call it quits tonight. And just in probably one of the worst foreign policy and military decisions that has ever been made in the history of the United States, he literally yanked everybody out of the country, created massive chaos, abandoned 1,000 Americans. And oh, by the way, it's estimated that something in the neighborhood of, what, $1.7 billion worth of, I'm sorry, $7.1 billion worth of U.S.-funded military equipment was left behind. Now, I will say some of that, it's hard to count some of that because we had actually given it to the Afghan National Army as their resources, all right? So you can't just go say, give us back your weapons, we need them all back. But some of this was warehouses full of surplus. Some of it was, armored vehicles and Humvees and things that we weren't really intending to leave behind for the Taliban. And we didn't even bother to corral it up. We didn't bother to account for it. Well, what's happened since then? So Biden did this debacle of a pullout and dishonored the 20 years of sacrifice that had been made by U.S. troops. I mean, granted, listen to me when I say this. I'm a veteran of Afghanistan. I was ready for the war to be over. It needed to be over. I'm okay with it being over. How you leave is sometimes as important as how you stayed. And the idea that he disregarded military advice, that he shut down and lost Bagram Air Base, which we could still be occupying. We still got troops in Germany and in Japan left over from World War II. We're still sitting in Korea, aren't we? It's not like we're at war. We have a presence. We have a forward presence. We spent billions building Bagram, sitting right next to Iran, sitting just north of Pakistan, sitting just to the west of China, sitting just south of the former Soviet stands. Is there a reason why we can't have Bagram with a deployment force that stays there and just kind of guards the facility and we can fly in and out when we need to? We've lost all human intelligence capability on the ground. We do not have the ability now to see inside the country for the most part. We abandoned any number of allies who had worked with us. And in my opinion, like I said, we dishonored the sacrifices that have been made for 20 years by U.S. troops and our allies. And then on top of that, we had 13 service members die at the gate of the airport because of the way that whole situation went down. Well, what's happening now? Let's fast forward. It's been 2 years since the Taliban offensive kicked off, and it's right at just under 2 years since Biden hosed the world. What's happened since then? What's happened to that $7.1 billion worth of military hardware? Well, here's some couple stories on that. So in January of this year, just a few months ago, NBC News reported that authorities in the Indian-controlled Kashmir area, and keep in mind, there's been ongoing conflict between India and Pakistan now for decades, and the Kashmir area is the disputed area, and there's constant sniping and things going on, and there's separatists that are down there fighting against the Indian army and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, authorities in Indian-controlled Kashmir tell NBC News that militants trying to annex the region for Pakistan are now carrying M4s, M16s, and other U.S.-made arms and ammunition that have never been seen before there in 30 years. A major reason, they say, is a regional flood of U.S.-funded weapons that fell into the hands of the Taliban when the U.S.-led NATO forces withdrew in 2021. So they're wonderful. We knew it was going to happen. So, yeah, here we go. The weapons we left behind are showing up on the black market. They're being used by militants and separatists and terrorist groups. Lieutenant Colonel Imran Musavi, an Indian Army spokesperson, said it can be safely assumed they have access to all those weapons that were left behind. And then the story goes on in NBC to say, while the U.S.-made weapons are unlikely to shift the balance of power in Kashmir, they do give the Taliban a sizable reservoir of combat power potentially available for those who are willing to purchase it. In other words, when the Taliban need money, they can use their smuggling networks to make money with U.S. weapons. That was in January. Fast forward to this week. Townhall.com headline. Oh, so that's where the weapons Biden left in Afghanistan are going. Israel is now reporting that Palestinian terrorists in the Gaza Strip are using U.S.-made weapons. Here we go. It says, when President Joe Biden made the decision to abruptly leave Afghanistan in 2021, he did so without the U.S. military properly exporting or destroying warehouses full of weapons. Billions of dollars of equipment was left behind, and now it's showing up in the hands of terrorists that are attacking Israeli citizens. It says, the Taliban secured a substantial arsenal of U.S. weapons and equipment, including Black Hawk helicopters, after U.S. forces withdrew from Afghanistan in 2021. The Israeli commander with whom Newsweek spoke said some of the U.S. small arms seized in Afghanistan have already been observed in the hands of Palestinian groups operating in the Gaza Strip. Wow. Wonderful. So our allies are now having to deal with what Biden left behind. And again, that first story was probably correct. Will it turn the balance of power? No. You know, a group of militants using M4 rifles, which are far more precision, by the way, than the usual AK-47s I carry. But nonetheless, it's not going to turn the balance of power. It's the maddening aspect, though, of the fact that those were American-made, and they are now being used against our allies in any capacity. If one person dies, I mean, this is Fast and Furious all over again. All right, but what else is happening? That's stuff that's being left behind, right? How about this? What happened to human rights? Well, human rights under the Taliban suck. And I don't mean like a little bit. In fact, here's a movie I'm going to recommend to you if you can find it. You may find it online. I used to have a DVD of it. It's just called Osama. And it's not named for Osama bin Laden. That was a happenstance. It's the story of a family of a woman, a mother, and her mother, a grandmother, and their little girl, who don't have any men in the household anymore because they were killed. And under Taliban law, they are not allowed to work. They are not allowed to do things to earn a living, and they're starving. And the only thing they can think of to do is to cut the little girl's hair short, pretend that she's a boy so she can go into the market and earn some money and get some food to bring home to the house. And then they discover that she's a girl. And the movie is just kind of disheartening. But it's so accurate. It's so well made. And you can see inside the walls of an Afghan house and what it was like to live under the Taliban. I recommend it. The movie's called Osama. Just go look it up. Human rights in Afghanistan, well, they're in the pit. Story on AP News, dated yesterday. Taliban carry out the second known public execution since seizing power in Afghanistan. The court had sentenced a man to death, accused of murder, and they used a they let the victim's family use a rifle to execute him in the public square. Now, did he deserve to die? I don't know. It's the manner in which the Taliban does things. Public executions. They used to use soccer fields became execution fields. If you ever read a book called The Kite Runner, you'll see what I'm talking about. But human rights violations are just the norm now in Afghanistan. In fact, in May, this article says, the United Nations assistance missions in Afghanistan said in the past 6 months alone, 274 men, 58 women, and two boys have been publicly flogged in the squares in Afghanistan. Life under the Taliban. Life under Joe Biden's Taliban. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. We'll kind of wrap this up. I'm looking at dipper number three here. I'm calling it the Afghanistan debacle. Like, are women's rights any better under the Taliban? And oh, by the way, what's China up to? Are they jumping in? Well, you might imagine. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, I got to tell you before we go now, you're in the car driving home. Some of y'all I know, you got the go home mode going. Let me just consider this for a second. Are you considering whether or not you're looking for a job or another job, or you need something, maybe people to work with you in your job? Let me suggest ZLA Solutions, all right? If you're looking for a job yourself, you can go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. You can check it out. They got great jobs posted all over North Alabama, really, and beyond. And then at the same time, if you are looking for people to come to work with you, you need folks. Doesn't matter whether it's onesies and twosies, like a few of them, or you need a whole shift of people, they can find them. Special niche skills or, you know, entry-level skills, they can find them. Recruiting, background checks, drug testing, all of it, they'll get you the people you need. ZLA Solutions. I know these folks personally. I believe in what they do. I'm just telling you, they're good at it. So check them out. Their website is ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And yeah, man, tell them you heard about it, please. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, let me jump over here. I got a phone call. Is that Jeff Rowe from Indiana? Jeff Rowe, how you doing, buddy?
Stuck in Nashville traffic like always. Yeah. But I'm at least human today.
There you go. What's on your mind, bro?
You mean you're talking about the Chinese Bagram Air Base over there and yeah. the Chinese embassy and stuff now?
Yeah.
That I guess they've taken over?
Yeah. It's amazing what we've just allowed to just somebody come in and have the benefit of what we put all that sacrifice into.
What went on over there, Phil? I mean, seriously, we got all these Afghans trained by American forces with American machinery that couldn't beat a bunch of goat farmers with some old AKs and some rocket-propelled grenades.
Well, I'll be honest with
Why
you.
Why didn't they fight?
They're more than goat farmers. They're hardened. But I'll also say this too: what they would do is they would come in to a village, they would go straight to a house. They would execute someone's family and then tell everybody else who's in the Afghan National Army, your families are next if you don't throw down your weapons. And that's that kind of terror is what the Taliban did to cause whole factions of the Afghan National Army just to fold up. It was sad. But at the same time, man, I mean, think about it. If you're standing there on the playground and the bully's picking on you, but you've got your big guy, your friend, right behind you the whole time, and you feel stronger, right? You feel stronger because your big guy's with you. If the big guy turns around and bails on you and you're by yourself, it's demoralizing. And so they literally watched the United States, who had been training them, backing them, and becoming their friend in many ways, just bail on them, and it crushed their soul right there at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, it's like I say, they, I don't know, it was time to get out, but they didn't need to get out completely. Now, like I say, it's the Chinese have taken over. They're going to rake their resources, and it's basically Red Dawn in reverse, you know.
Yeah.
It's like this ragtag bunch of little kids or whatever. I mean, you know, these are hardened people and stuff, but they took it on the American military and basically whipped us because the people, like I say, they was demoralized and wouldn't fight.
Yeah, it's every bit of that, by the way, was a decision made in the White House. I mean, we could easily have had a brigade remain at Bagram, maintain the facilities, and have a rapid deployment force. So if the Taliban got uppity, all it would take is one air mobile asset launching out there to put them back in their place, and the Afghan National Army would know they had backup. But no, we just Biden.
As far as I can tell, there's not been a good decision come out of that White House since Trump left. So
no, there hasn't. In fact, I'm not sure that Biden's in the White House a whole lot. I mean, how often does he go home to his place in Delaware for long weekends and put a lid on his day at 12:30?
I think that whoever's running the White House right now should run for the presidency, because why do they need Biden? He's just a puppet anyway.
Yeah, so
they should come out behind the curtain, you know, show us who Oz is, you know.
Maybe that's why Susan Rice left the White House. Maybe she's planning her strategy to jump in as the candidate. Well, all right, brother. Hey, listen, be careful out there in Nashville. All right.
Yeah, I'm safety at 5 miles an hour.
All right, man. Take care, Jeff. Well, I tell you what. Let me put a lid on this one, all right? Human rights. I got a United Nations press release. Phil, you went to the United Nations? Yeah, I did. But this one is applicable. Came out in March of this year. UN experts say that the situation of women and girls' rights in Afghanistan has reverted to that of pre-2002, when the Taliban last controlled the country, effectively erasing all progress on women's rights in the intervening 20 years. They issued the following statement, the UN did. It says, in 2002, after years of being denied their rights under the previous Taliban regime, Afghan women celebrated International Women's Day full of hope. The day was observed in Afghanistan at the UN headquarters with the theme Afghan Women Today, Realities and Opportunities. Commitments were made to support our Afghan sisters, to rebuild their lives and be full partners in the post-conflict reconstruction. On that day, the international community said the plight of Afghan women had been an affront to all standards of dignity, equality, and humanity. It stressed that it would support reasserting their rights and going beyond expressions of solidarity. Now, over two decades later, girls in Afghanistan have been banned from schools. Women can no longer attend college. Women and girls have been banned from entering amusement parks, public baths, gyms, sports clubs. Women have been banned from working in offices. And since the takeover by the Taliban in 2021, women have been excluded from holding public office or from being in the judiciary. And today, Afghanistan's women and girls are required to adhere to a strict dress code and are not permitted to travel without having a man with them. They are compelled to stay at home. Can you imagine? 20 years of progress. And we are talking about the same Biden White House that wants to put men and women in sports. So, you know, go figure. And I'm going to tell you, that was one of the things we did when I got there, was try to make sure that women knew that it was a whole new day. And in one fell swoop, Biden crushed it. All right. And on that high note, it's been a great show, though. Good show. All right. Listen, we'll be back tomorrow. Plenty on tap for that. You guys have a great night. We'll see you at 2:00.